A knock came to his door. So Henry Jones went to open the door to see who was there. Henry was a farmer, and the man at the door identified himself as a government surveyor who was hired by the state. And he asked Henry for permission to go into his fields with his equipment and take some measurements. Henry was not happy. Henry did not agree with the politics of his state's leaders, and he suspected that the real reason that guy wanted to survey his fields was they were going to take away some of his land. And so he turned to that surveyor and he said, "No, I do not give you permission to go onto my land." The surveyor then reached into his pocket and he pulled out an official document and he said, "I'm sorry, sir, but I have the authority to go into any land I wish in this state and do my work." So Henry begrudgingly opened the gate and allowed the man to go into one of his fields. When the surveyor was setting up his equipment, Henry went to the end of that field and he opened another gate. At that moment, one of his fiercest bulls came charging out into the field. And the surveyor saw the bull coming and he dropped all of his equipment and he began to run for his life. And Henry said to him, "Show him the paper. Show him the paper." I suspect all of us have a little bit of Henry in us. When the government tells you what to do, are you a rule follower or are you a little bit rebellious? For instance, how are you at obeying the speed limit? Ouch. How do you feel about your property taxes? Your city taxes, your state and federal taxes? How have you done during this pandemic wearing your mask when you're supposed to, and social distancing and quarantining? You can fill in the blank. I suspect that all of us have a little bit of Henry in us at some times. As Christians, one of our problems is that we know what the scriptures tell us about all of that. We are called to follow the rules, no matter which political party makes them. And perhaps that's a good reminder for all of us, especially this week as we go into yet another presidential election. Now, I'm sure you know what Paul had to say in Romans about this. At least you should know. Romans 13, beginning in the first verse. "Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves." And Paul goes on in verse 6 to add this. "This is also why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor." God's word. When it comes to faith and politics, we are actually citizens of two kingdoms. We are citizens of the kingdom of God, and we are citizens of the United States of America. And sometimes those two are in conflict with one another, and we just want to let the bull out of the gate. Now, the reference that Paul made to taxes is something that Jesus talked about as well, and I'm sure you know that. I'm sure you remember the story. It's found in Matthew 22 and elsewhere. Let me refresh your memory. This is verse 13. Later, they sent some of the Pharisees and the Herodians to Jesus to catch him in his own words. Pharisees and Herodians. Now, we often hear about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but we very seldom hear about the Herodians, except in this story, in Matthew 22, and in one other place in the Bible. Who were the Herodians? They were a Jewish sect that derived their name from Herod the Great. They wanted King Herod to sit on the throne of Judea. How left-wing is that? They were the political opposites of the Pharisees, the right-wingers. And both the right-wingers and the left-wingers had one thing in common. They hated Jesus. So they ganged up on him. Matthew 22, verse 14. They came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, we know that you are a man of integrity. You are not swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are, but you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth." They were buttering him up. They must have thought that he had a hungry ego, like some politicians that we could mention today. But nothing could be further from the truth. Now here's their trick question. "Teacher, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we or shouldn't we?" Now they were talking about what is called the poll tax, which the Roman emperor had imposed upon all of the Jews. It was one of several heavy taxes. All Jewish men from the ages of 14 to 65 were required to pay the poll tax. And all Jewish women were required to pay it from the ages of 12 to 65. Think about that. 12 and 14-year-olds. That poll tax equaled one full day's wages. And the Jews absolutely hated it. Just one of the reasons that they hated it is because it made them feel like slaves to the Roman Empire. Now, they didn't mind paying the temple tax because the temple tax reminded them and represented a submission on their lives to God as their heavenly king. But that Roman poll tax represented submission to an evil earthly king. So they prayed, "Oh, come, Messiah, come, and relieve us, rescue us from this awful oppression. Teacher, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we or shouldn't we?" And how did Jesus handle that? I'm sure you remember that story. It says, "But Jesus knew their hypocrisy. 'Why are you trying to trap me?' he asked. 'Bring me a denarius and let me look at it.'" That coin, that denarius, was approximately the same, worth the same amount as the poll tax. One full day's wages. And it's very interesting that Jesus did not have one. He had to ask them to bring him one. And then Jesus declared it to be a trap question, because if he said yes, then the people would be angry with him for agreeing that you should pay taxes to Caesar. If he said no, then the Roman Empire would be angry with him and he would be in trouble. How was he going to get out of this trap? Verse 16, they brought him the coin and Jesus asked them, "Whose portrait is this? And whose inscription is this?" "Caesar," they replied. Then Jesus said to them, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. And they were amazed at him. That coin was very offensive to the Jews. It wasn't just because of the image on it, however. It was also because of the inscription that was written on the other side of that coin. On the front, it said, Tiberius Caesar Augustus, son of the divine Augustus. And on the back it said, chief priest. In other words, that coin was promoting emperor worship. It was a claim to deity. And with his answer, Jesus was saying, in essence, this is Caesar's coin, so give it back to him. And in essence, Jesus was saying, and make sure that you give back to God the things that belong to God. Brothers and sisters, whose image is stamped on you? You know the answer to that question. You are created in the very image of God. We give back some of our money to the government, but we are called to give all of ourselves back to God. I surrender all. We're citizens of two kingdoms, and we're called to honor both of them, but not equally. We are called to honor both of them with integrity, with full integrity to God and full integrity to the government. Now, here's something that many Christians need to hear. Being a good Christian does not excuse us from being a good citizen of our country. In fact, it's just the opposite. Our faith demands that we are responsible citizens. Do you ever disagree with what our government authorities say or do? Of course you do. But a vital part of your witness to Jesus Christ is how you handle that. Have you ever heard of the Lahu people? They lived in a portion of China and Thailand. And they lived in an area where opium was readily available. And many of them became drug addicts as a result. But in 1936, Christian missionaries went there and converted many of the Lahu people to Jesus Christ. And that is when something very interesting began to happen. The Christians overcame their addiction to drugs. They changed their lifestyle. They became responsible citizens. And their villages prospered. And those who did not convert to Christianity and who maintained their drug dependence lived in poverty and in crime. In 1990, Chinese authorities began to notice the difference in these villages, and they sent a team of researchers in there to study the situation. And they discovered that the healthy, positive villagers were all Christians. So in 1998, the oppressive, aggressive, communist Chinese government began facilitating the spread of Christianity among the rest of the Lahu people in order to raise the standard of living for everyone in those villages. And it worked. How do we know? It was Open Doors Ministry that learned about this and who shared a report. Open Doors Ministry is a ministry that ministers to the persecuted Christians and churches around the world. And the year was 2002 that they reported that the Chinese officials were embarrassed to admit what they had discovered to be true about Christians. I didn't know that. Did you know that? I think that's exciting. Those who were citizens of the kingdom of God were better citizens of the Chinese kingdom itself, even in a country that radically opposed their values. And this is what Jesus Christ expects from all of us as well. We are to be better citizens because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Better citizens of the United States of America because we carry the image of God and the stamp of Christians. Why? Because it brings glory to Him. Now, just as those Lahu people were citizens of two kingdoms, so are we. And even if you do not respect someone who is in office, you are to respect the office itself. And that's part of what it means to live in these two worlds. Now, during the past few years, I have had many different caregivers come into my home to help me care for my Elizabeth. Many of those caregivers are young. They're in their 20s and 30s. And quite often our conversations have turned to faith and politics. Much too often I've heard the same things from way too many of them. They do not keep up with the news, so they have no idea what is going on in the world. Just a few weeks ago, one of them said to me, "How many people are running for president?" And this is an American citizen. Just yesterday, one of them said, "When is the election?" And this is a United States citizen. Almost proudly, they tell me that they don't bother to vote. Why? I ask. Well, they don't know what's going on. And number two, they don't want to know what's going on because they hate politics. And number three, they don't believe that their vote's going to matter anyway. They want to be citizens of this country. They just don't want to put any effort into it. However, they do want this country to put out all of its effort to make them happy. I can't help but remember the famous words of John F. Kennedy, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." You might not know this about me, but I was present at the inauguration of John F. Kennedy. I had a seat down front, and I could have stood and shouted, and he would have been able to hear me because I was that close. I was a senior in high school, and I really didn't know a bunch about what was going on. I really wasn't politically connected. My father was, and that's why he took me to that inauguration. And it was cold. It was 10 degrees. And it had snowed the night before. And I sat, I was one of the fortunate ones to have a seat, on ice. I was miserable. And I couldn't even follow this speech of this long-winded politician very well until he said, "Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country." I will never forget that moment. As I have watched TV this summer and as I watch it right now, and I see the blistering footage of young people in open rebellion on our suite, on our streets, I am struck with a number of things. For instance, most of those people who are burning down buildings and rioting today are young people. And they have grown up in one of the most dysfunctional times in America's history. All they know is the digital world. And so they expect instant gratification in everything, every area of their lives. They feel like they're entitled. They are not happy or proud of their citizenship in this country. And they are not proud of the dysfunctional nature of politics today in our country. And they are angry about it. That is so sad. But what is even more sad is that they are not authentic citizens of the kingdom of God. They either do not know him or they have rejected his kingdom. The Lahu people of China were a persecuted people. Those Christians who had been converted were persecuted by the Chinese, even though they spread Christianity. They had every reason to be angry, just like those demonstrators feel they have in the streets today. The Lahu people certainly wanted to see the dysfunction of the Chinese government change for the better. But it was the Christians among them that helped make that happen. It was those who were authentic citizens of the kingdom of God, who were the good, authentic citizens of the kingdom of this world. And that's what we're called to be as well. God needs for us to be his change agents in this nation, in this broken, dysfunctional, decaying nation of ours. Please forgive me if you are offended when I describe our country that way, but that's how I feel. Satan is alive and well in our midst, and he wants to see this nation under God to be his nation under his dominion. It is so disheartening to see that happening right in front of our eyes on a daily basis. But take heart, have courage, because Satan will not win. Hallelujah. In the end, we know who has the victory. But we're not at the end yet. You and I are privileged to live right now as citizens of what I still believe is the greatest nation on earth. But we have responsibilities to live authentically as citizens of God's kingdom. So, as you encounter and as you endure the challenges of living in a time such as this, what would God have you do? Would he have you cower in a corner somewhere and dream of better times? You know, that's what a lot of old people like to do. Just pull back and dream of yesterday. Would he have you go out into the streets and burn down buildings and break glass and loot and pull down statues? Or would he have you put on his full armor and clothe yourself in the fruits of the Holy Spirit and be light in this dark world? Are you going to love your neighbor as yourself, even if that person has a different political view than you do? I hope so. Don't argue with them about politics or try to convince them that your candidate is better than their candidate. Instead, talk with them about the Lord and His kingdom. Talk with them about the kingdom of our God and help them to join you in being an authentic citizen of two kingdoms. And finally, pray for our leaders. Pray for our schools. Pray for those demonstrators. Pray for those in Hollywood who are shaping our morals, our ethics. Pray for those on Capitol Hill. Don't pray for fire and brimstone to come on their heads and overwhelm them. Pray for God's love to overwhelm them. Pray for the Holy Spirit to invade them and overwhelm them. Pray that they would be good, authentic citizens of God's kingdom. I close with Revelation 11, 15. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, "The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever." Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, You are so much bigger than our petty politics. You are so much bigger than the dysfunction that we see all around us. And Lord, we sometimes feel we can't do anything to change it. But You can, and You can do it through us. May we not wither on the vine, but may we be authentic citizens of Your kingdom and this kingdom of the United States of America. And with integrity, may we worship You as our King of Kings. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.